there, and welcome to the Ready to Talk podcast. I am your host, Trixie, aka The Thoughtful Beast. On the show today is Alex, and he's going to talk about taking Black Lives Matter from a hashtag to a lifestyle. It's actually been several months that I did this interview, since I did this interview with him, and I thought it would be a great conversation for now so we can check on how we've been doing on our allyship. If you're not an ally, I still hope you listen to this episode to get some perspective on a different point of view. So let's get to it.
I'm Todd, and I'm, you know, I do stuff. But no, I do, I'm a video editor for like my full-time job. And then outside of that, I'm a director, writer, and then I am a content creator for like Instagram and YouTube. So I create like inspirational, motivational things on Instagram. And then I, on YouTube, I review like suspense TV shows and talk about TV shows and theorize where the show's going next and all that stuff. So that's what I do.
Oh my God. Like, I'm going to tell you now though, because this has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. When I saw that, because you like do like How to Get Away with Murder and everything, right?
Yeah.
I'm not caught up, so please don't spoil things for me. But I was like, oh my God, I want to talk to him about TV. like, I love TV.
Oh, I'm obsessed. Literally.
Yeah, but yes that's besides but I just wanted to tell you that because like I saw your channel. I was like, oh my God,
that is so awesome
to ask him. but we are here to talk about something else. I think I totally forgot to tell you, because I don't know if you've been on Streamlab before. Have you?
No, I haven't.
So there's a comments, like, you can, if anyone comments, there's definitely like comments somewhere, like you'll, it's near where it says private chat.
Oh, cool. Nice.
So if there are comments, you'll be able to see them. And yeah, just so that you know, that's totally a thing that's happening.
Nice. Yeah.
So let's get to it. So I guess let's first, before we talk about, you know, like going from a hashtag into a lifestyle,
yeah,
which we talked about, and I'm sorry, I have to show you this too. There's Marissa.
Yes, Marissa.
Before we go into, you know, like transitioning from like this great, wonderful viral movement to like a whole like lifestyle adjustment, I would love to know like what it's just been like for you since the beginning of this surge. Ooh. I guess I'll call it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a very loaded question. It's been a roller coaster, as I'm sure it's been for most and many, but it's been a lot of realization and like going back through past experiences and like a lot of self-reflecting, but a lot of like educating, re-educating, and just a lot of mentally exhausting mentally exhausting tasks. But it's just been a lot of reading, catching myself back up, and really like dissecting my past and things that I've been kind of hiding from myself and kind of building. I've started building like coping mechanisms and things like that, and realizing that I had certain things locked off that I was feeling and wasn't really expressing. And so it's been a lot of talking, and it's just been a lot of kind of figuring myself out again and like educating myself so that I can continue to speak about what's going on. And it's been quite the emotional roller coaster too, because it's just seeing these things and seeing the way that the world is. I like to consider myself an empath. And so like I felt all of it. And so my need to want to make a change and want to do something was like overwhelming. And then being trapped in the house and not being able to do enough and not feeling like I'm doing enough. And so it was just like going back and forth with that. So it's been, I've probably learned more about myself within the past like 2 to 3 weeks than I have in maybe the last year or so. So
hey.
It's been exhausting, but it's been a good experience, and I feel like I've grown from it.
Yeah. Do you mind if I may ask, like, what are some of the things that you were tackling within and reflecting on?
Well, to be completely honest, I do struggle with mental illness. So I struggle with depression and anxiety. And so through my course of like going to therapy and understanding that, I found a technique is when I feel something, I try to understand why I'm feeling it. And if that's going back to a pivotal moment that I had in my childhood that relates to it somehow, or if it's from something that happened last week or something that's in my mind that I'm not addressing, then it helps me kind of cope with that a little bit better and manage my anxiety. And so a lot of what I've been doing is really going back and looking at when I was in high school, how did that affect me by going to a predominantly white school? How did that affect me personally? How did that affect my thinking patterns, my habits, and how did it affect the way that I, how did it affect the things that I learned in high school, and how did that translate to everything getting older? And so, like, really understanding that, and even just going back to my childhood and asking myself, did my mom ever teach me about race? Did my mom ever have that talk with me? Do I remember having that talk and having those conversations with her? And then also even just self-discovery of my own past. So having deeper conversations with my mom, because I never thought of asking her, hey, what was it like for you in the 50s and the 60s when you're going to school? And I found out she had to petition or protest outside of a school to desegregate it. And I had never known that. And so it was like having those conversations and things like that and finding out more about what's happening and how it's connected to the Civil Rights Act and how it got to the point where we are here, and seeing if it is possible for racism to still exist, and really diving into more research around that specifically. And so that's been mainly what I've been looking at, is just like self-reflecting in those specific moments. And even times I've been pulled over by cops and I brushed it off and just said, oh, it's nothing. And then doing research and finding that's a form of suppression, or it's a form of me coping with it by saying it was nothing, when actually inside reliving those feelings and that trauma, I was terrified. I had a panic attack, I had an anxiety attack. And so me hiding that, and it was almost like coming back to the memory, was like, oh, I completely forgot it affected me that way, where I'm looking at it through a lens of where I am now, where I've suppressed and created all these coping mechanisms for all these things that have been going on in my life. That was a very long-winded answer to that question.
But I loved it, though. Like, honestly, because there's so much in there. And, like, first, thank you for being honest and, you know, and delving deeper into, like, you know, saying what you've been doing and sharing, because, like, that is hard work, you know, like, looking it's at yourself exhausting. And confronting mentally. Yeah, it is so exhausting. And even, like, it's work that everyone can do, you know.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely,
that's
yeah.
the thing. It's like, you don't have to be black to, like, go back in your mm-hmm. past and look like, hey, how has race been taught to me?
Yeah.
You know, like, how did you feel about it? Did you, like, did this ever come up? Like, mm-hmm. and, like, you know, like, it's going to be a little different for us who are non-black. It's just like, how did you react to black people when you were mm-hmm. young?
Yeah.
You know, how did other, like, your parents treat them? Like, you know, like, things like exactly. that. Mm-hmm. Overt, covert, and all those different ways. Mm-hmm. Because even say, like, that's fine. Even I was like, should I censor my notes? Like, you know, like, say, like, you grew up, like, with Fox News running mm-hmm. all the time. Whether or not you believe those things, like, if it's running 24/7,
it,
like,
gets in there somehow.
It gets
yeah.
in there,
yeah.
you know. And that would be with anything, you know, like that. Like, that's just advertising. Like, mm-hmm. if Teletubbies was running 24 hours, like, a day, like, 24/7 in your house, you'd be singing that song when you went to school, you know,
and, right.
you
and not even know how, and how, not even know how you got how. It.
Yeah, and you would just be, like, see the sun and imagine a baby and just be like, what am I doing? What's happening? And then, you know, you go home and you realize it's from Teletubbies. But, right. you know, like, the whole point of that being, like, things, like, seep into your head mm-hmm. so subconsciously, and I think that's so awesome that you're doing that work for yourself. Mm. To basically what it sounds like to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that, like, you are really trying to, like, look at yourself and not avoid your fears or avoid these different things that have been complicated in your life. Like, you're mm-hmm. trying not to run away. You're trying to, like, abruptly face them and be like, what is this?
Yeah, I would agree. Totally. Yeah. Spot on. And it's, One of the things that I recently moved to Los Angeles. And so one of the things that prompted me to go is also I've always wanted to be here, and being a writer, director, video editor, I should be here. But one of the things I decided to start doing was challenging myself and putting me outside of my comfort zone. And one of the most challenging, most difficult things to do is to look at yourself and then to realize there are so many things that I was doing wrong. And to face that and to realize that my entire way of thinking was incorrect. And it, not I shouldn't say incorrect, but it wasn't fully, I didn't have enough there to be able to make a fully educated opinion about something. Yeah. And so it was just going through that and facing the fact that I was wrong about something and I was incorrect in the way that I was going about it. I may have said incorrect, wrong things. I never stood up when I heard racism or experienced racism, and I never spoke up when I did that, and I hid it. And so it was like, for about 3 days, I felt so absolutely guilty. I was crying on and off for no reason. Like, I'd be sitting there trying to work, and I would just start, my eyes would just start watering from something. I'd be scrolling on social media, and I would just, my eyes would just start watering. And so, and it was all of my guilt that I felt for not speaking up before this, before it got to this point, before we had a pandemic going on at the same time, where this has been going on for so long. And it was so much easier to turn a blind eye than it was to look at it and say, I'm doing something wrong. This shouldn't be happening. And what can I do to fix that within me? And so that was the main focus of all of this. And that was, like you said, some of the most difficult things I've done. And it was completely uncomfortable because, like I said, I was feeling the weight of the world and all this guilt on me for a good 3 days until I talked to someone about it. And I was able to find a balance and use it as fuel to drive me to find out more and fuel to really do more and find ways to do more and find ways to help.
Yeah. Like, that's so great. No, like, that's so wonderful and like amazing to hear, because, you know, guilt is a really tough emotion. Guilt and shame.
Everyone hates that. Yeah. It's the one emotion you don't ever want to feel.
Everyone hates it. They don't, you know, and that's like why we run away, or that's like, it is easier to turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you're like, I don't want to feel bad. I don't want, you know, like, even when it's like atrocities, you're just like, I don't want to feel bad. Like, yeah, that's bad. And then like you go away.
Yeah, totally.
And like, it's so beautiful. Like what you said, you know, like you found a way to deal with it, to face it and understand it so that you could use it as fuel. And that's like the thing, that's where it's like emotions can be so strong in that way.
Yeah,
where it's
absolutely.
Like your guilt was super strong. And then you found a way to use that whole emotion to like drive you and motivate you to do good work for yourself and for others as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like, you know, like I somewhat am along with the same thing where it's just like, I felt super guilty too. Like, you know, looking back at all the times you're like, why didn't I stand up?
Right. Yeah.
Why didn't I do it? You know, but staying there isn't like great. It's not helpful. Like if you just, you know, like running away from your guilt is bad. Like sitting in it and just like staying there, like playing in the crappy water. Like it's also not good.
Right. And it has an effect on you, and it makes you, it makes you get defensive when if someone brings it up, and it makes you instantly want to say, well, no, you're wrong. Or you want to shut down. And so it kept you from having conversations about it. And that's why it took so long for us to get to this point. Or at least that's how I feel.
Oh, that's how I feel too. Like, totally. Because it's just like, yeah, you definitely have to process it so we can turn into something better and you can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unprocessed emotions just like make us either run away or, we're sitting in the crap water. We're just like, oh, no. But yeah, that's so wonderful that you process that. And honestly, I feel like that actually brings us to our topic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and I would love to know like your feelings. I think that's a way where it turns from where Black Lives Matter turns from a hashtag into a lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Like, it's definitely like self-reflection. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? That's my segue.
Super segue. Well, I would say like, just because, I mean, we were discussing this a little bit before, but it's just like with the power of social media, we do have access to so much information and it's constant all the time. So, and it's things come in, things fade out, things go in, things fade out again. And so it doesn't really become a part of our identity because it's just kind of surface level news. There's no real emotional attachment to it unless it's like Jurassic World, the poster coming out, and I'm super excited about that. So that's going to have a lasting effect. But like with Black Lives Matter and do it and all of that, and just really consuming it and it becoming part of your identity. And I think that's important for us, for all of us to realize that racism is still around. It's has been around. And the systems that have been set in place to consistently keep it around. And it's so ingrained within the system, we don't see anything wrong with it unless we actually look at it. And one of the things that that really concerned me, and I am going to admit it because it shows that I can admit that it was a problem, but I have no idea the name of my mayor, my governor. I have no idea the name of any of the people in my community. And I also have consistently told myself, buy locally, buy Black-owned businesses or shop at Black-owned businesses. And I've looked them, I Googled them, I said, I'm going to go there this weekend. And where do I go? I go to Ralph's or I go to Vons or I go to Target. And it's like little things like that where it's like you can post the post where it's shop Black-owned or Black Lives Matter. But if you're not walking that same talk, then it's going to be another passing fad. And it's going to continue to be a hashtag. It's not going to become part of your identity. And I think that's where it needs to shift into. If you are posting these things, post them because you have fully read the article, because you fully have thoughts on it, speak those thoughts. Or if you're posting about shopping local, post a picture of you shopping local. Everyone loves taking selfies. Go ahead and wear that badge that, hey, I purchased here, I purchased there, I'm buying within my community. These are things that we should have been doing to begin with and that we weren't doing. And also, if you're learning about just like the government officials in your state or in your city, being able to post articles about that and share that knowledge, because that should be part of what we're sharing. We got so normalized with, or it's become normalized that politics are yucky, is what the problem is.
Yes!
It's like, literally, if anyone mentions the word politics, my brain before all of this would shut down and just be like, no, boring. What's on television? Have you seen that new TV show? And same thing with racism. Anytime racism gets brought up, it's either as a joke or it's as mentioning it and someone shutting down and a conversation stopping or it leading into an argument. And so those things need to become a part of our identity as far as talking about it, normalizing it again, making it okay to talk about politics, making it okay to know your government officials, and making it okay to continue to educate yourself, because learning about the system is going to be an ever long, like an ever learning process.
Yeah.
And so we're going to need it to become a lifestyle and part of how we're going to go forward for it to stick around. And so we're continuously doing it. We're seeing positive progress out of it, but we're not at the end game yet. We're not at the point where it's Captain America versus Thanos. So we're not at that point yet. We have to get to that point where we do make these changes.
Yeah. Which is like, okay, this isn't the end all be all, but remember to vote, everyone.
Exactly.
In November. And before, all the lights support you. But like, come on.
And I think this gave us like proof that our voice matters. Our voice has always mattered. And now we can actually see it mattering. And so we need to continue that passion and say, well, my voice does matter. I should vote. I should be out there knowing who these government officials are, who are making the laws for my community. It's a problem if I didn't know who was making the laws for my community. That's crazy. But I admit that I didn't. It's bad.
Hey, neither did I. Neither did I. Thank you to all like the people on social media who started posting that.
Exactly, right.
The people, like the organizations who made it easy. Like, I think 8 Can't Wait, like, did that.
Yeah.
Like, they had like a really easy one and just like type in like where you are and it's going to show you like the whole list.
Exactly.
Like, everyone who makes like the templates for letters and call it like,
thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And like, that's been such a great thing for social media too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're totally right. Like, where I feel like, not just like, yes, we need to get into this. And I totally have that same feeling too. Like, for me, politics, like, you know, I want to be invested. It was really hard because it's like, yeah, like, I also suffer from mental illness. And I just like, I would shut down. It's not like I didn't want to, but it was just like so much of an overload to where it's just like, I feel, this makes me feel hopeless and helpless.
That is perfectly said. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I'm really hopeful about now is that I feel like joining in on this movement and the fact that there's traction and there's change being made, hopefully people see it as a little less of that. They don't feel helpless anymore. They feel more empowered. They feel we as a community are coming together and we have each other's backs. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that hasn't been felt. Like, I haven't felt that. I always felt personally where it's just like, politics is this thing that's over there and I can't touch it. Everyone's like an asshole anyway. So I, how am I really supposed to make any change? And I would focus like on my local community and like the people in my life. But now I feel like this is a wonderful time to enter to politics, like with the Black Lives Matters movement, because it's like above politics. Like it's way more than just politics, but politics has to be a part of it. And like to go in with a community like so together and more solidified than any of the freaking, like, you know, like I'm really mad at the DNC. Like they never got their shit together. Like, you know, so it's just like, who can, like, screw them. Like, let's all go together as a people. Right. And it's proving to be powerful. And so I feel like that can feel better. And then therefore, like entering politics can be like, it doesn't feel like, like I'm still saying, you know, like limit yourself though. Like don't.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Long game. Right.
Yeah. And just to tie into that, like what you're saying with mental health is like giving yourself a break, because that was a huge problem of mine too, is I was diving into it. It was literally like I took a day off and I was just reading for 8 to 9 hours straight. And then I went to sleep, woke up and did it again. And it was like, I shouldn't have done that. Like I should have allowed myself, give yourself 2 hours a 2 hours a day or 4 hours a week or spread it out or something like that, where it's just like, okay, let me see what's going on currently in the world and in my local community, but be in the know. And it doesn't like, you don't have to know policies and specific things, but know the name of the people in your government and know the laws that they're talking about or passing around, but it's not like you have to know all of it. And so I think it's like setting limits and like diving into the specific things that do interest you will be helpful, because the racism thing interests me, because I was just like, how do people's brains work? And that's always been like a thing that I like. And so all of my research went into the complexities of how it shaped our identity. And so I like that. And it's also part of politics. So it's like, find something that's similar to what you like, and you can be a master in that world, and your best friend will be the master in the other world, and they can feed you the information that you don't have an interest in reading. And so it's like being able to do that and thinking creatively, and like really, I feel like all of us right now are going through this huge mindset shift, and it's extremely difficult, but we're all doing it together. So rely on the people that are close to you to kind of help you through it and kind of talk through it and limit the amount of time and still keep your mental health in mind as far as it feeling hopeless or helpless. Cause I think that's another, like all of these emotions you feel doing it are emotions we do not like feeling. So it's like, you got to push through it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And like you said, like, I love that, like be creative about how you're going to do it. Right. And know like you're not going to do everything. Like, it's like when you're describing all that, you're like, you know, like pick something, don't do it for 8 hours. Like, I just, all I thought about was like people like crash dieting. Or just like, I'm just not gonna eat for like this amount of time and it's gonna be fine. And then like, guess what? Like, this is why yo-yo like dieting exists. Like, because you can only keep that up for so much. It's not sustainable. So you do like a crash diet and and then you're back to whatever. And it's just like, that's, we don't want this to be that. Like, there's definitely just like you said, like, how do you keep it sustainable? Pick something, pick the point of interest that you like.
Right.
Right. Because you're not going to keep researching something that bores you.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to look up dates for everything. You know why? Because I don't care. Like, I don't care about specific dates. Like, you know, like, that, like, I'm not gonna memorize the year. Like, that's not gonna happen. Like, no.
I know the event. It happened sometime in the past. I just don't know exactly when.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure World War I was before World War II. So it's as long as I know what they were about, it's fine.
Yeah, know what they're about so that you can like take the time to like digest the points. Right.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, like, it's more about like cognitively be able, like being able to understand that versus 17, blah, 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 and you're like, okay, who cares?
Like, seriously,
No, that's a good one. Definitely, like, and relying on your friends, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So I found like that has been, that's been a huge opportunity, especially after being quarantined, and you kind of felt kind of alone. But it was like, when this all happened, it was a lot of people coming together, and so conversations were being had. Some of them good, some of them bad, but conversations were being had. And so just as an example, I got really into the psychology of the racism stuff. And my friend was like, he's so into the specific policies and things like that. And I'm just like, policies, I like remembering titles of documents and stuff, like, nah, I'll pass on that. But we had a discussion and we went back and forth. And so he would have one aspect of it, I'd have another. And coming together, we had more to talk about because he'd bring up points, but I would bring up, well, actually, how the system is set up, blah, 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 blah. And he'd be like, oh, I didn't know that. Well, this policy did this. And I was like, that must have been how it affected this. And it was, so it was like, we came together and had like different pieces to the puzzle. And so it's not bad to have those friendships where it's like you come together and you kind of collectively build your knowledge together.
Yes. Like, and that's like so smart. It's just like, you know, you don't want to stay in your little bubble. Mm-hmm, staying in your little bubble, you literally have access to less knowledge.
Exactly.
Like, that's just a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't even think about that. Like, that's also a great way to like start socializing.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like coronavirus made everyone lonely as fuck. Everyone's
mad. Forever alone.
Yeah. Forever alone. And so it's just like, why not? You know, like, why not combine like your need for like human socialization and like the greater need for a people? Mm-hmm. It's like it's great because it actually feels like, again, like you're making like a community, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's totally fine when you sit and chill and you talk about like how to get away with murder.
Exactly. I'm totally fine with that.
I'm totally fine with that. But it's also like, it can also be really powerful to build like these kind of friendships, speaking about those kind of things, not all the time, mm-hmm. but like, that's a lifestyle thing.
Yeah.
You know, being able to talk about politics or different social struggles from different points of view, like mm-hmm. normally, and not feel like this is too heavy.
Like, right. Exactly. Yeah.
I came here to relax, bruh. Like,
let's just change the subject.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, it doesn't.
Or my favorite is, we'll just agree to disagree.
And then it just, like, basically it's like, shut up.
Right.
Yeah. Just shut up. And then just, like, walk away and you're like, okay, well, that was productive.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, it's true. That's really true. Oh my God, I want to go back to what you were talking about with like social media and like, mm-hmm. you know, like taking selfies and stuff like that. Because like, that's a thing where I feel like, dude, like there's so many influencers. Mm-hmm. Cause like, it's what I think about a lot. We're just like, what if all the influencers were super into like Black Lives Matter?
Absolutely. You know?
And like, what if they were super, or like all the celebrities and came mm-hmm. out and were just like super into it? Because as much as like that kind of annoys me, like, I'm like, this is reality though. And this is how you make those things work for good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is how you make social media work for good. Like there's so many toxic things about social media, but mm-hmm. like this movement has shown like, oh my God, like the power of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it always is like, it does that for like basically any sort of like newer revolutions. And they all use social media.
Yeah, because, it's like, crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's because it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're all just waiting around to get like that post on your social media to be like, okay, we're meeting here to protest. Like, we're
right, yeah.
Like, and it's like, it's ridiculous, but it's great. And it's just like the power of that, the power of being like, yeah, like I said, let's shop local. Let's shop like at a, like, or let's go eat at a Black restaurant. Like, and then yeah, having your selfie. And I think for some people, they don't want to come across as like, oh my God, I am hashtag mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter. And I'm like, yeah, no, that no one wants to do that. But it's just like, but you know, like there are ways to do it. If you were doing it already, it shouldn't feel like if your thing was food, if you like had stories for everything, then mm-hmm. why wouldn't you have stories for this?
Right. Yeah.
You know, because then it's just like, oh, you've created this barrier for yourself where you're actually now not acting natural.
Right.
Now mm-hmm. you're actually, unfortunately, avoiding. You know, like you're avoiding the fact that you show these things. It's like, no, you don't have to do that. You know.
Right. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. It's interesting as the like influencers. They have so much of that power, and it like I'm not gonna lie, like. Viola, since we're talking about how to get away with murder, Viola Davis is one of my favorite actresses in Hollywood right now. And the reason why I like her so much is she's just the way that she presents herself. She's herself, like she does her, and she's just passionate and she shares her passions with everyone. So and as soon as this started, she was out there providing information. She was posting things, and like the celebrities do have this power. Like, and as much as we don't want to admit it, we're going to be a little more like, oh man, The Rock said that, or it was like something like that, and it's going to affect how we perceive ourselves and how we perceive what the issue is, and having certain people support it and certain people not support it. And it's just like, it does have an influence. And so it is a very powerful thing. And like you said, just with like social media, it's like, it's insane. We can share all that information, and it's like, you have that, but then you also have the other side of it where the propaganda is now on social media too. So it's just like, we're in this world where before, people wouldn't have access to this information unless they lived in that town or unless they had cable, which many people wouldn't have had in the 40s or 50s. And then it's to now where someone can instantly, the George Floyd could happen and someone uploads that within 15 seconds for the world to see. And so it's just, there's so much information to have to go through, which again ties into just like the burnout and just having to allow yourself time to process that and actually take it in. Because if you're just reading headlines and not digesting the article, you're kind of letting it go in and out the other. And again, that turns into this remaining a hashtag. And so really taking it in and digesting it and allowing it to kind of become part of your knowledge, part of like what you learned and your identity. And I think that's important to just go forward with tying into just keeping it sustainable.
Definitely. The longevity is so important, right? That taking that time to digest and like reflect and be like, okay, now I know this, like, how does that affect me? Like, what does that make me think of, like, from my own past and how I behave?
Yeah,
because like, that's the point of knowledge, right? It's not just supposed to be like, so we can spout it back and be like, hi-ya. It's supposed to be more like, okay, I know these things, how can I make myself better? You know, like, where are these problems coming from, like, in my past? Like, are they coming from, like, the people, like, my surroundings, like, just pure ignorance?
Yeah.
And so having that lack of knowledge. Oh, my God. I feel like that's a big one, too. People realizing the lack of history that they have.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And,
it's,
like,
it's incredible.
Yeah. Because you don't know. Like, I was talking to when Idra and Marissa were on earlier this week, we were talking about that, how, like, you know, you learn history, and when you're a kid, you're just like, this is what it is, you
right,
know,
yeah.
Like, just because, like, that's how it is, like, this is how things are presented to you, and we all were talking about how, like, we thought racism was over when we were a kid, because I definitely feel like that's how things were presented.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, and, you know, people using, like, Martin Luther King Jr., like, I Have a Dream, and highlighting that, and that speech and everything, and, like, that's where you end, right? So it makes it feel like, oh, the dream was achieved, look, look, like, we're fine, we're together, and it's just like, that was a lie, that's such a big lie, but, like, in my head, like, you know, like, that's what made sense, like, you just think, like, they said it, like, you know, and when you're a kid, you just trust whatever the adults say.
I mean,
say.
It's in the textbook. The textbook is official. That has all truth.
Yeah. Oh, such a lie.
Yeah, you don't disagree with the textbook as a kid.
Yeah, because you're just like, this is a boring list of facts. And you're just like, oh, it's not. This isn't even complete. There's so much that happened. So, like, you know, like, even wrapping your head around concepts like that, like, that definitely, like, takes time.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's like we were talking about, it's uncomfortable, and it puts you in a position that you don't want to be. So it's just like, why am I here when I could be binge watching something on Netflix instead of reading about this stuff that doesn't have anything to do with me, sort of thing. So it's like, that's where, like, it's more so looking, that's why it was important for me to understand, like, the racism and the systems, because it affects everybody. And it's been low-key, not low-key, but high-key, like, controlling our thoughts and just like coming to the realization that like 90 to 95% of the people that determine how we live our lives are straight white men who have never been a person of color. They've never been part of the LGBTQ plus community. They've never been a woman. And so it's just like, how is that okay for them to be telling us how to live our lives? And so there's that disconnect there. And it's so ingrained into the system that we have come to terms with it and just been like, oh, this is just how life is. Yeah. But that's not the case.
No, it's yeah. not the case. Oh, it's so weird. It's like we collectively drank the Kool-Aid, right?
Right. You come out of the womb. Here's the Kool-Aid. Yeah. Welcome to society. Here's a textbook about history.
This is the truth, everyone. Nothing yeah. else. It's crazy. Like, that's like a thing that's really hard, I feel like, for people to face. And it's hard for me to face, like, the mm-hmm. complacency.
Right.
The complacency with silence. Like in your past and that. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like, you know, one of the things I really hate about like our society, that's besides these things, is toxic positivity.
Right. Yeah.
Where it's just like, everything negative just has to not be here. And I'm like, mm-hmm. you are literally erasing all this shit that is happening to different people.
Right.
And just like, you know, like, we are that culture though, like mm-hmm. super positive, like focus on the positive, live with no regrets. And it's like, yeah. no, I regret that I was silent and I did not stand up for people.
Right.
Like that yeah. should be something you regret. Like right. it, like, and if it's like, I don't know, I guess you could try to spin it, but really like, should this be something you spin? Like, or are you just being like toxically positive?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's even, definition of regret, you feel guilt
yeah. because yeah. of what happened. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, regret is not the worst thing in the world. Like, hashtag no regret for me is stupid. Like, it's like positive vibes only. I'm like, that's dumb. You have no regrets. I mean, like, I don't think you've looked at yourself then.
Right,
I
yeah.
I don't think that's happened then. And right. it doesn't have to be a bad, like you said, it doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I think that's the biggest part, is once you can realize that your mistakes and your wrongdoings in the past don't define who you are currently, and it's okay to say I was wrong. Like, those are probably the hardest words that someone could say, and most of the time it comes off condescending. But if you genuinely have like a true connection with someone and have a disagreement, you can say, oh, I'm my bad. I didn't know that. And it's okay to admit fault. And I think that's where we struggle with, because that makes us vulnerable, and we don't want to be vulnerable. And I feel like a lot of us got vulnerable within the last 2 weeks, really, like, very heavily. And it was just the amount of truth and like that I was seeing and reading was just so powerful. People were just coming out and just saying things they would never say. And we have a tendency, again, to think it's not okay to talk about our feelings. So when you have a combination of don't talk about politics, don't talk about racism, don't talk about your feelings, that is a combination of failure. It's just like, that is combined. We are not talking or discussing the things that have actual importance in our lives. Yeah. And so it's just like getting out of that comfort zone and turning that into normal and making that okay to do. Like, after, if this had been 4 weeks ago, I would have not have said anything about me crying nonstop. But it's like, I've had to be so vulnerable so much within the last 3 weeks. It's just like, yeah, here it is. I know it's fine. It's true. That's how I felt. I just want to let you know.
And so it's like,
you do it enough, it becomes uncomfortable. You talk about racism enough, it becomes uncomfortable. And so I think that those are like the big things. Get through that stride of uncomfortableness. Will it always partially be a little uncomfortable? Yeah. But I mean, that's just part of life. That's just how our brain works. So it's going to be a hard habit to break. So I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of growth that can happen here. And if people are willing to do it, we will definitely come out of this progressing as I think even more connected and more united if we can do that.
Yeah. And like, I want to like highlight the fact that, you know, you said like politics, like your mental health, like racism, like we didn't want to talk about that. We're not supposed to talk about that, but they're all connected. Mm-hmm. And then they all heavily affect you. Like, that's the thing that could be so beautiful about this movement. It's just like, people like to say like, this doesn't affect me. And I'm like, there are so many intersections.
Yeah.
There's so many fucking intersections that will help us all. Like, it will help mm-hmm. us all. Like, thinking about, you know, like Black trans women. Mm-hmm. Like, in all the intersections, exactly. Like, that's already a bunch of intersections. And it's just like, yeah. saying Black Lives Matter, like, it's literally like all black lives. No one's saying like just the black men. You
know what I mean?
Like,
yeah.
It hits so many different spots that like affect all of us. And like, it already does affect you. Like what we said, like all our history is incomplete. Whoever you are, like your history is like hella incomplete. Like I can't remember which one of my friends, they just told me like the other day that their brother did not learn about the Civil War.
Wow.
Like, in school. Like they were just like, their school was just like, it's too much. We can't like teach it all in time. So they just skipped it.
Wow.
And it's just like, wait, what?
That is like one of the most pivotal moments in our history.
Right? It's just like, who the fuck cares about us leaving like Europe and shit? Like that should have been smaller.
Right.
And then our own shit should have had like a deeper dive, but it was like another way for them. But I'm like, how horrible is that?
Like, and the thing that's even worse too is I was reading this article, or I was reading this book, and it was, someone was saying that you could take high school, you could take all of school, go to college, and never really have a diversity class where you discuss diversity and racism. And you can become a lawyer, you can become a judge, you can become a police officer, you can become a doctor. And it's that's crazy, where it's like, why is Black history or Chicano history electives? Those should be part of what we're being taught all the time, not from one lens, especially because you can go from high school and skip over any other history class afterwards. And so it's like you're getting that skewed point of view that is skewed towards making the settlers seem as the heroes. But I took a class, a history class in college, where it was told from the point of view from the Native Americans. And that changed everything. And so it's like little things like that, where it's like, switch the perspective once in a while, or like combine the perspectives, but don't just tell a collectively from one viewpoint, because then you're not only controlling the education that we get, but you're shaping our minds and how we feel about ourselves or other people. Because I had a huge effect on me seeing certain things about civil rights, and that the images I saw of my ancestors and the people that looked like me in the history book were in fields, or they were being hung, or they were being beaten. And so automatically I'm going to look at that and be like, oh, I am worth less as a child. That's automatically what you're going to think. And so as an adult, I looked back at that and I was like, no, I'm not. Like, I had to reteach that to myself from it being instilled in my head from a kid, just by seeing it as an image. And I think we fail to see how much of an impact that actually has on our psyche growing up, and how we kind of perceive ourselves, perceive other people, because then I'm automatically seeing the white man as superior because he owned my ancestors, and it's not even that long ago. It was my great-great-grandfather and grandmother. That's two generations ago. That's not a very long time ago. And so it's like, it's very hard to not think that that doesn't have an effect on how you perceive yourself growing up into that community, into someone else's world, where you're now being you're forced to fit in. If you want to achieve anything, you're forced to assimilate.
Yeah. And like, oh my God, like it is scary. And that's the thing, is like, you know, like bringing up doctors, right? You can just have no sense of diversity,
right?
Really.
Yeah.
You think you're diverse because, hey, there were different people in college or whatever. Like,
right. I've talked to a black person.
Yeah, I do. I have a black friend. It's totally fine. We were buddies. Like, you're like, all right, okay. But you know, like those things like affect like how people get treated. You know, like, and there's discrimination everywhere. It's just like, if you are black, they're gonna listen to your, like, for when mental illness happens, right? They're not going to take it as a mental illness, really.
Right.
And if, exactly, like, you're a man versus a woman, they're really not going to, like, give you the treatment you need as a man. As a woman, they will. As a black woman, that goes back to, like, less, right? Like, there's, like, if you look at, like, the rate of morbidity for, like, childbirth and everything, it's, like, black women are more black women are dying from childbirth than like other women. It's just like, there are these things that are happening. It's just like, you know, and like, as a woman, it's just like, everything we know about our vaginas and our reproductive system,
right?
Like that shit is outdated. Like, we're going off of like science from like way far far, far, far
right.
back.
Yeah.
In the past. And it's just like, you know, childbirth shouldn't kill us so often,
mm-hmm.
or shouldn't like ruin like our bodies so much. But it's just like, we're women, so people don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they don't care. Yeah. They don't care what's happening over here. They're like, you've always birthed babies. You're fine.
Right.
But there are issues there. And like,
absolutely.
That issue, again, like those issues come up with like what you said, like with doctors and professionals, you know, like how hard are you going to fight as a lawyer if you cannot connect to this person?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like,
or if you already have like your own stereotypes from what you've seen in media growing up as a kid. Like, I know a lot of people want to admit this or won't admit this, but a lot of us got what we perceive from other races from television. And a lot of the TV of us growing up displayed Hispanics as immigrants or maids, Black people as thugs or gangsters or always in the ghetto. And then whites as living in suburbia. And so it's like, of course we're going to see that and then take that in and be like, oh, they're supposed to be there. They're supposed to be there without having that talk about racism. So it's like little things like that tie into it. And if you don't take an actual history class or diversity class, you're a doctor who has seen this growing up and decided, well, I'm going to try harder to save this person because I connect with them better. Or I don't understand a woman fully, so I don't understand the pain she's going through, so I'm going to prescribe this. Where they may not know specifically, like, they're not going to be able to treat you the same way as someone who's lived your life. And the same thing, that the differences between gender also tie into race. And I think that's what, because we've been taught that race, I don't see color, or race doesn't exist, or racism isn't a thing. So we automatically think, oh, I'm not judging you based off the color of your skin. But you are, the same way you treat people differently if they're male or female. We all do it. I know I do it. And I'm working hard to make sure I don't. And so it's like, if you're aware of it, you can be better.
Yeah.
You can grow, you can change. And so it's the same, it's very, those two walk a very similar line. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it's like an analogy that a lot of people aren't connecting together. It's very much in the same boat.
Yeah. And it's just like, I think, you know, it's like going back to what you said, people don't want to admit that they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, you know, heuristics and stereotypes exist for a reason, right? Like heuristics, I feel like stereotypes is a type of heuristics, and because heuristics is like us trying to survive. So we're like, you know, you take the information that you have from one thing and apply it to another, because that's just supposed to help you learn faster.
Right. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, we don't do enough work to acknowledge when those things like have gone wrong or have applied to the wrong things.
Right. Yeah.
And that's how like we unconsciously like become like do like not even like necessarily become racist, but when we start behaving like have racist thoughts, when we start being sexist, like, and stuff like that. And it's not just like, ooh, someone said this. Who said this to me? Apo-C. She's going to come on next week. I hope I said her name correctly. But she said to me when I was talking to her, people are so concerned with being called racist versus realizing whether or not they were doing something that's racist.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you're just like, no. Like, that was so real, where I was just like, oh shit. Like,
you know? Yeah, that's good.
Good. Like, cause it's just like, that's the thing. Like, that's the thing we're fighting. And I feel like when she said that, like, you know, like that's one of the fights that's constantly happening now, where I'm just like, I don't know how to put this in a succinct package where I'm also not just like, fuck you, like, you know, and like trying not to be like, fuck you. And like, I'm just like, oh my God, don't say that. That's not helpful.
Right.
And then, you know, like, but like, that is a good way of saying it. It's just like, what are you concerned with? Are you concerned with being called racist, or are you concerned with actually being racist?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
That Marissa has a comment that I'm going to share with you. If I can find my mouse. Here it is. We all have unconscious biases that we need to unpack and reprogram, or at least be more aware of. I just took an HR training on it. Yes, yes. HR training.
Yes.
Like,
more of that.
Yes, more of that. And you know, like, we all know sometimes these webinars that our jobs make us take, we're like, okay, well, whatever. But like, you know, like that's a start. Like that's something that we can like walk up to our businesses and be like, I would love more of these, you know?
But like, even in that case, which is funny, you bring that up, because I was just thinking about it and I'm like learning to trigger my thoughts. But I just said in my head, I was like, but those things are so stupid, so I never pay attention to them. And that's the truth. And so, like, I think that's become normalized too. And so if we're not, like, actually listening to it, because the last one I took actually had new information, and it piqued my ear, and I was like, oh, there's more. Like, and it had different explanations for things. And I was like, wow, this is pretty good. Yeah. But it's like, if you take the time to actually listen to it, like, it actually does have tools and techniques that you can use to kind of help you get to that point.
Yeah. And, you know, I think people with, especially like webinars and stuff, they get so focused. And I've done this where I'm like, they're just doing this, trying to cover like their butts, you know, like, cause it's like a company and they don't want to be in trouble. And it's like, okay, well, maybe that's true. That could definitely be true. But it's just like, but is this information good? Mm-hmm. Like, yes. And if it's not, then it's just like, if you like, you know, then you can say something. Yeah. Like, people want to feel like they can't say something, like, to their employers and stuff like that. But it's just like, if it's something that they're already doing, you know, like, you can try to be like, that's great that you did that. I think we need more of this, da 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 da. And like, hold people accountable. Like, I just had my friend Erica yesterday. She did business ethics and social responsibility. And she's like,
oh, that's a lot.
Like, you got to call out like your bosses. You got to call out like your companies, because that's a whole part of the lifestyle thing too, right?
Yeah.
She's like, do you want to work 8 hours a day for someone who's potentially racist or sexist? Mm-hmm. Like, do you? Because like, that is a big part of your life. Like, and totally, that will affect you and like how far you go. And it was just like, ah, crap. Right, but it's true. So yay, HR training. They're not all bad.
Exactly. Give them a shot. Give them a chance.
Give them a shot, man. And at least they become more interactive.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they become way more interesting. And I know part of that is because they're just like, we don't want you to just like put this on play and like walk away. You gotta click on this.
They will.
Just, yeah. But it's like, that is how you know, like, you make people responsible. Like, we all just need to be a little more responsible with ourselves and how we're learning and what we're learning. Like, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. And I think it's important to like find safe spaces where you can practice, because I don't think we talk enough about how good safe spaces are. So just being in a space around people that you can trust to like fully have those conversations. Mm-hmm. So where when you do fumble and you misstep, you're going to receive the information differently. You're going to be perceived differently, and you're going to accept that those critiques and things that may have been offensive, what you said, you can accept those a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think we can use that as practice and use the friends and stuff that we do trust. Cause I do have friends that have reached out to me, and we'll have discussions back and forth, and we'll talk about it to the point where it's like, okay, I'm going to come into this with a calm mind and just like, this is just, let's discuss and let's talk, and let me send you this article, read that article. I'll read the article you sent me, or I'll listen to the video you sent me. And this is my thoughts on it. And so creating safe spaces like that create it easier for us, so where we can get used to receiving that feedback, where it's like, oh, actually, and that's still going to happen to me. I'm just going to say things that are wrong. Someone pointed it out to me on Sunday where they just mentioned that, oh, that's your privilege as a male speaking. And I was like, oh, I did not know that. Can you explain to me how it was taken so I can understand how not to do it again? And so it's like things like that. If you allow your shield to come down and don't get defensive when someone is just telling you that they were offended by what you said, and actually take it in and consider it and reflect on it and take and like use it going forward. And like you were saying earlier, like actually learning it and turning it into a lifestyle. That's the
good thing. Yeah. That's our topic. Your today.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're reaching the end of our talk here, so I'm gonna make you like remix it and put it back all together. So like, basically it's fine. You're gonna be totally fine. So I guess what I'm gonna ask you is just, and it could be a review of things, it can be new, but I'm gonna ask you to end with it, just kind of sum it up with 1 to 3 things, you know, like action points to help turn this life, like this hashtag, into a lifestyle. So like 1 to 3 little bullet points.
Ooh.
Ending words.
All right. I would say first and foremost is like, allow yourself to continue to get educated. And I'm going to combine this into one because there's others, but be creative with what you learn. So make sure you're finding something you're interested in that caters to the topic. And I would say limit your time doing it. So if you want to dish out 4 hours a week, do that. And that's your 4 hours a week to just do politics and dive into that and kind of go forward with that. The second thing I would say is really take in the information that when you're having discussions about it, especially with the opposing side or opposing thoughts or opinions, really actually take it in and read it and dissect it and understand what it's being broken down, what's being said. So it's not just an instant defense mechanism. It's never necessarily an attack unless it gets to the point where it's just like, F off, but it shouldn't get to that point. But it's also like, it's the same on both parties. If you're talking to someone who has opposing views, then you need to hear them. You need to understand them, even if you don't agree with them. And I mean, I'm kind of regurgitating stuff people always say, but it's important. And I think like if we can let down that shield of defensiveness and actually listen to what someone else is saying, it's going to help both of us really come together and kind of unite. And I think we are definitely very divided. So being able to unite is very important. The final thing I would say is, again, just use like social media to your advantage, like use the powerful parts of it. So if you're sharing an article and talking about it, briefly just state your points and what you enjoyed about it, why are you sharing it? Why should someone else be reading it? So it's not just kind of like a reshare, but even if it's just a this here or read, that's fine. But like, let us know what it's about and please check the date on it. That's my only only thing. That's probably should be all like, included in all three, but check the dates on them because I've seen so many articles from like 2012 and I'm like, I'm glad I know this now, but it's not really connected to what's happening right now. And in a way it still is, but it's like, we need to keep the collective moving where all the information can be powerful now. So we have it and we're consistently going.
Yeah, that's true. Or use that date to be like, if the same exact date, then be like, this is 2012. Like highlight that and be like, this is still going on. to help people understand that, hey, this stuff has been a problem for a long time.
Right.
Just like now.
You know? The biggest thing, like I saw a post where it's like, your world isn't the world. And I think if we can all realize that concept, a lot more of this will make sense. Where it's just step out of that bubble and see what other people have been going through and actually build genuine connections with people that are different from you. Yeah. Like there's no way to truly understand that without connecting with someone that you have a actual relationship with, that you can really have a safe space to have like discussions and things like that. So it's like, it's important to have those relationships, even though it doesn't seem like it, or avoiding surface level relationships just because you can use it as a badge, like actually having like actual connections.
Yeah. That's very true. Oh my God. Thank you so much for coming on to talk.
Thank you.
This was super fun.
You're the best. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is super fun, man. Everyone out there, Marissa, thank you. thank you for everyone who saw this and will see this in the future. Listening and learning is super important. So I'm glad we're all doing it together.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Todd is amazing, so please check out his stuff on YouTube under Todd Foolery and Insta under Todd.Alex. I'll put the links in the description box below. For my fellow BLM allies, if you aren't feeling so great about your progress or your involvement in the past couple months, don't shame yourself or give up. That doesn't help anyone. Just reevaluate and see what you can actually make a part of your lifestyle. And it's going to be different for everyone. Some people will be able to donate money. Some people can volunteer. Some people can write letters to their government officials. If you really wanted, you could literally have one letter stating that racial injustice exists. And it's clearly demonstrated on how communities are funded and how different communities are treated by the police. And you can send that letter every freaking week. Because you know, those things are going to be facts for a while. Find something that works in your life. And also, take care of yourself so you're ready when it's your turn to talk. Black lives still and will always matter.